Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Well, I think the best marriages or relationships are, and I've said this before, I believe on this podcast, like they are when I'm more concerned about your welfare and your happiness than I am my own.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and today I have my favorite guest, my husband, my best friend, my hubs. Hello, babe. What an entrance.
Well, one of the things that I told you was if I'm going to come back on your show, I want entrance music.
I'm going to get you a soundboard for Christmas.
And that's it. That's the entrance music. That's Ric Flair.
I know the guy.
Oddly met him.
I have.
That's weird.
We met in Dallas at Moxie's.
Watching a football game.
Yeah. He seemed like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of brain cells left. Yeah, I didn't get a lot of interaction out of old Rick.
He means well. He means well. He's been through a lot. Well,
Rick might need Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. We all need Jesus. Welcome back to the podcast, babe. It's been a minute. We realized before recording this that he has not been on the podcast since I redid The Office, which, gosh, I redid that like in July. August?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was a while. It was a summer. So it's been a minute since you've been on the podcast.
We just had a bunch of like star-studded, you know, like...
Special guests.
Russell Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was an OG. He was like the fourth episode.
No.
Russell Johnson?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was back in like March, April.
Well, I mean, who are the other big names that you've had?
I mean, gosh, I've had Ali Schnacki. I've had, I'm going to be having Pastor Mike on.
Are you? Mm-hmm. That'll be a good one.
I'm excited.
That'll be powerful.
Yeah. He's going to be on soon. And I have some really exciting guests lined up for 2024. But we really wanted to end this episode or end in this episode. We just started this episode. End this year with a last episode. To just kind of go out with a bang. And so, yeah, that's what we're here to do. It's been a wild ride. It's been a wild year. It's been a great year. But what are some good takeaways from this year?
Well, you know, it doesn't feel like this year, but early in this year, around the first week of February, mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So that's a huge takeaway.
I should have seen that one coming.
Well, he gave me the microphone.
Yeah, I did. I did. In full transparency, we actually already recorded this, and I did go on a girls trip in November, and I took my equipment with me because we recorded a podcast. As you guys know, you probably listened to that episode. Upon transportation, somewhere along the way, one of my cords got destroyed. But tonight we're like, we're just going to make it work. The microphone lit up. We're like, oh, we're good. We're Gucci. We're going to do this. An hour later, I go to listen to the sound to make sure that everything sounds great to submit it to my team. And it did not work. So this is our second attempt.
If I could redirect your attention to the day you left for said girls trip.
Yes.
A wise, wise man. Also known as your husband, walked into your office
talk about Jesus
and said, hey, are you taking your podcast equipment? And you said, yeah. And I said, oh, well, just make sure you're really, really care. I don't even think I got the full word careful out.
And I was like,
and you go, I know, I will. First podcast recording post girls trip. We have broken equipment.
Yeah, because this is the first time I've used these mics, well, both mics since that said weekend in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. You know, yeah. It was a good time.
At what point in the discussion do you say, because this is the part I'm waiting for, like, gosh.
You were right,
babe. Like, you really, I should have been more careful, and I should have heeded the advice. That my husband gave me before I left on the girls' trip.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're doing a question and answer.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing Q&A.
Here we go.
And you were right. You were right. So I applaud you for that, babe.
Did anybody ask the question of who's always right? Because this would have been a perfect opportunity to answer that question.
It sounds like you already have the answer.
Me.
Sounds like you need a dose of humble pie.
Well, you know, you know,
awkward laugh.
Anyways, all right, I'm going to ask you the first question because this has got you written all over it.
So yes, we're here to do a Q&A to wrap up 2023. It's wild because the podcast started in 2023 and now we are quickly approaching the 1 year anniversary of said Chiseled and Called podcast. So I feel like there's been a lot of growth. I finally feel super comfortable behind a mic, which is really exciting. I feel like you could kind of tell at first that I was like not a podcaster, and now I'm like here for it.
I'm glad you do, because I still don't.
It's been
fun. But apparently like half these questions are geared towards me.
They are.
Which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So.
All right.
I'm just here to give the people what they want.
They do want it.
As like nervous as it makes me.
Man. It's way past my bedtime.
Yeah.
Like 10 o'clock. Okay. Let's jump to it.
Question number one.
Number one.
Where do you guys want to travel next?
I mean, I already know. Hello, Costa Rica and Hawaii, which I've been to Hawaii many times, almost moved there in 2017. Praise God I didn't, because I met this one. But see, that's where you need a soundboard.
I've been politicking for a soundboard.
I'm going to get you one.
But the producer of this show keeps telling me no. Do you know how many cool sounds I would have?
You would have so many cool sounds. Okay, so you're literally looking up sounds. Yes, definitely want to go to Hawaii. Definitely want to go to Costa Rica because I've never been to Costa Rica. And what?
Why are they always beach trips?
Because I love the beach. I'm meant to be at the beach, babe.
Baby, this body was not built for the beach.
You're a mountain guy.
Yeah.
I'm married a lumberjack.
I like winter, snow, beards, axes, like chopping firewood.
If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child, and now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's HazelandLane.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love.
What?
You can, I was going to say something and say you can chop my firewood any day, but I don't know what that even means.
What in the...
We're married.
I know, but like is you. Are you delirious right now?
It's like I just said, it's way past my bedtime. What the melatonin does to me, I am not in control of.
Sounds like I'm going to get to chop some wood tonight. You want me to have a soundboard.
I do. I think it would be quite comical. Are you just pulling these off of YouTube?
I cannot reveal my sources.
Okay.
Maybe you'll find out when I get a real soundboard.
Oh, you got connections?
So, yeah.
Okay.
This is quickly, that's like the third yawn in a row.
What is wrong with me? Am I pregnant? No. Do I want to be pregnant?
Yes.
Yes. And we'll get to that here in a minute. Where do you want to travel to next, babe?
Anywhere in the following states: North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Utah.
And what do they all have in common? They're cold and they have mountains.
Cold, snow, mountains, wood, firewood, axe, chop, tree, survival. Yeah.
So now would be a good time, since we're talking about the mountains and the beach, to share about, by the time this goes live, which will be next week, chances are the spots for my 2024 group trip are going to be open and available, and we are going to Costa Rica.
Boo.
Hey, I'm excited. It's going to be fun. Are you really not excited about Costa Rica?
No,
I mean, for real.
No, I like Costa Rica.
Have you been?
No. I don't think don't think they have snow and mountains, and I don't think there's going to be a need for firewood.
Can I tell you what our plan is in Costa Rica?
I talked to my travel agent.
He has a whole itinerary planned up for us already, and I'm so pumped. Okay, so basically what we're doing is the first day is going to be like massages, hot springs, relaxation station. And then the second day, we are going to be horseback riding down to a waterfall to swim.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
That scares the crap out of me.
Why?
You've seen me on horses, and you want me to ride a horse to a waterfall?
Yes.
What if said horse is not under control as we approach the waterfall?
What if I'm not under control as we...
You know what? It's one of those things like, that's fine. It's a heck of a way to go out.
Amen. I mean, that is it right there. At least it's a cool story.
That's like as a...
That's how the Lord's calling us home.
Like as, you know, in my former line of work and my current line of work, like these are the things that guys think about. If you're going to, everybody's got to go out. Everybody who knows the Lord,
we're all destined to.
Well, yeah, your clock is going to expire when the good Lord calls you home.
Mm-hmm.
We think about it all the time that we want to go out in a super cool way.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dumb way.
Yeah.
Like if it's going to, that's why they say blaze of glory.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that can't happen.
Go out in a blaze of glory.
Horseback?
No, I mean, horseback off of a waterfall would be pretty ridiculous.
Anyways, I really don't think
I hope somebody gets it on video.
I really don't think people are going to want to come now.
Anyways, yeah, Costa Rica, yay.
If you could sound a little more excited, babe. If you want to go to Costa Rica with us in 2024, it's actually going to be really exciting. And I know Jordan doesn't sound very thrilled, but I'm very excited. And
I can promise you that I will bring the same level of sarcasm on said trip.
Yes. Yes, he will. He unequivocally, without a doubt, will. Yes. So moving on to the next question. What is Jordan's perspective and experience of witnessing you being judged on social media? Take it away, babe.
I do my best to not even give that kind of stuff the time of day.
Yeah.
You know, the trolls on social media, that's not of the Lord. All they do is they, you know, spew hatred and try to pick apart, tear apart you, our families, our relationship, our marriage. So it doesn't bring any value to me or my day. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm really proud of you and how you handle it, but, I really don't think about it or dwell on it because those people have zero effect on my day in, day out life.
Well, and I think it also helps you seeing how unaffected I am by it.
Yeah.
Like if I was having meltdown after meltdown, I think it would bother you a lot more, but time has proven itself that I'm genuinely like, I don't care.
Well, it was really a learning curve too, because it was a learning curve because that's not something that I'm used to. Mm-mm. So when we first started dating, I was like, holy buckets, like what is this? And then kind of seeing you walk that out and seeing how like, also, I mean, a big encouragement is like, you don't let it affect you. So I'm like, well, if she doesn't let it affect her, then why do I let it affect me?
And I'm always the one that picks you up. Like if you get offended by something that someone says about me online that you see, I'm always the one like, I'm like, babe. Hey,
which is a rarity. Because I'm never...
It's very rarely happened.
Yeah.
We're talking more like media headlines, like, you know. And I'm always the one that's like, hey, like, brushed off. It's not that big of a deal.
I'm not
affected by it. You shouldn't be affected by it either.
I do think that like one of my proudest moments was when I logged onto the Fox News app and within the same page of like scrolling up, it was an article about you and Joe Biden. And I was like, and you were on top. And I was like, heck yeah.
I don't know if I should be proud of myself that I was on Fox News to that level or absolutely appalled that I was next to Joe Biden.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, this isn't about politics. So we'll just end that right there. I really do. But no, I really do think that the way that I handle it has really helped you just learn to like not even let it phase you. Have there been times?
Well, it's different because I've never been somebody who gives a crap about what people think. Mm-hmm. It was more the protector in me that I get fired up. I'm like, oh no, you did not.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't bother you, then it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
So,
cause I married a German Shepherd husband, not a Golden Retriever husband.
I still don't necessarily know that I understand that analogy, but no, I got it. Yeah.
So Golden Retriever husband is, one that is sweet and kind and loving.
I am those things.
No, you are. Let me finish. Sweet and kind and loving and gentle and caring and just all the Golden Retriever qualities, right? A German Shepherd husband is protective, a little jaded, doesn't like to be in crowds, a little on edge, but also all the other things, caring, loyal, loving, kind-ish.
Okay. I understand the analogy now. Yeah.
No, Jordan is honestly probably more of a people person than I am. You really are. You love people. You never meet a stranger. And I'm like, can we trust them?
Yeah,
like,
you got me on the crowds thing.
I wait to hear from the Lord to truly trust someone. But, you know, that comes with being...
I'll talk to anybody. I'm just not going to like everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're called to, like, be personable to everyone. Personable, that's a really hard word to say.
Personable?
Personable?
The Texas accent bites again.
Personable.
It
sounds like this sound.
Do
I need you?
No, do I need...
You might need... Yeah, sure.
Do I need a soundboard? What is the answer? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Okay, moving on to our next question. Yeah, so just so you guys, in case you didn't catch all that, Jordan is truly unfazed by social media, as am I. Just don't care. Number three, do you want to ask this or do you want me to ask this?
I got it.
Okay, Jordan was taking his sweater off over there, knocking all over olive trees.
Well, we are in an office. Why is there an olive tree in here?
It's for aesthetics. I know the rest of my office is chaos, but the olive tree makes me happy. Literally, my entire office right now is Hazel and Lane inventory, boxes upon boxes. We were just packing orders before this. Like, I'm like tripping over things, almost falling, stubbing toes. But the olive tree in the corner that no one ever sees
stood the test of time.
It makes me happy.
Mm, good, baby. You know what? If it makes you happy, it makes me happy. All right.
And that is marriage right there.
Number three, would you guys want to move? Why or why not?
Yes.
You first.
Yeah. So
this answer is obvious.
Do what?
I said this answer is obvious.
Yeah. We actually, we've seriously had this conversation several times. Yes, we want to move, and probably sooner than later. Where do we want to move to? We're staying in Texas. Third generation Texan here. Don't plan on leaving anytime soon.
Just doesn't make any sense to move out of the greatest nation in the world right now.
Amen. Why we want to move. And I say this from a place of, I love our home. I'm so grateful for this home. I realize how much of a blessing our home is. Especially just the way that the economy is, and it's just crazy times we're living in. I realize that. I realize how much of a blessing and how grateful I am for this house. However, that also doesn't invalidate the fact that this home has carried a lot of trauma for me from the moment that I moved into this house, which was early 2020, literally not even 2 months after COVID started taking off. About a month and a half into COVID, I moved from Dallas to Fort Worth. And within a matter of weeks, the trauma started. There were, I'm not going to brush this all back up from under the rug. We've already discussed all this. If you want to listen to it, you can go back to like the lawsuit cancel culture podcast from earlier this year. But before I met Jordan, there were some people that showed up at the house. Guns were involved. Guns were fired off. Police dispatched, a whole thing. From then on out, then you have the lawsuit and cancel culture and more people showing up and people posting our address and doxing me and taking pictures of our home and sitting outside of our home. And then, if that's not enough, my miscarriage. And full transparency, it was actually a rough morning for me. Just some days, the waves of it feel like they just slapped me across the face. And this morning I couldn't even be in my bathroom because that was where I found out I was pregnant. And that was also where I miscarried our baby. And so, while, like I said, while I love this home and it does feel like home, if we're being honest, babe, there have been more seasons than not where it has not felt like home for me. And you know this, I've cried on your shoulder a lot of not feeling safe here mm-hmm. for many reasons, for the reasons that I just listed, and feeling anxious in my own house, which no one should ever feel that way because of outside circumstances and people that were just saying unnecessary things and sending unnecessary threats for whatever reason. And so, yeah, we do want to move, and I'll let Jordan say where we intend on moving.
As far away from people as possible.
Amen. I'm going to start my mini farm.
Oh, Lord. One thing I am confident of is that when we do get some property and put a house on it, that we will have no problem qualifying for a homestead exemption in the state of Texas based off of animals, because, good Lord, you have already named half of your petting zoo.
Mm-hmm. I could name them again. So we have Matilda, my dairy cow, because I'm going to start drinking dairy from a cow, because that's just the way God intended it to be. And then, so I have two of my own horses that are in my name. We have five, but two of those are mine. And so I would like to build my herd up to five. I know this is not news to you, babe.
Horses or total animals?
Horses.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So I've got room for three more. And then I would like to expand. We, at the ranch, we currently have Black Angus and Wagyu. Jordan's rubbing his eyes over there. I think he's like, dear Lord, what is she talking about? I've thought this through. This is my plan. So we have Wagyu and Black Angus at the ranch that we're breeding and raising and separated, obviously not together in the same pasture. I would like to also expand to Highland cattle, which are the really cute, furry. They look like they belong in the mountaintops.
You can't eat those?
No, they're not going to be eaten.
Oh.
I have names for them already.
Oh.
Yeah. They're going to be named. They're going to be pets. And
for what purpose?
I'm not really a fan of chickens. Dad.
Wait, you brushed over my question. For the Highland cows that have names.
Yeah.
They're pets.
Yes.
For what purpose?
Just because.
Okay.
Because I love
What's the admission fee going to be to this petting zoo?
Well, the only people that are coming out there to our place are going to be our friends, so nothing.
Okay.
And what else? Oh, baby goats. I'm going to have some baby goats. I would love to name one of them Wilbur. And I think that's it. The one thing you don't have to worry about is cats. Because yeah. I just never really clicked with cats. The only cat I like belongs to our friends. His name is Poe, and he stole my heart. And he's, what kind of cat is he?
I don't even know. I don't know anything about cats. Like I'm allergic to him.
He's so cute. He's literally the cutest cat I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But that is the only cat that I love.
To all the fellas that might be out there, Christmas time is approaching. If your wife asks for a horse or a really expensive purse, buy the purse.
What makes you say that?
Because the horse has to be fed every month.
Like I tell you, babe, the cheapest part about buying a horse is actually buying the horse. People don't realize that till they come to it. The
purse doesn't have to have an emergency vet visit.
At 2 a.m.
The horse.
Or supplements every month. Did you know that? Did you know that Harley and Gunner are on supplements every month?
We spend more on supplements for the horses than we do on me.
Facts.
Partially because I refuse to take them.
I just literally, when I was up there a few days ago, my dad came down to the barn. He's like, what's this? I was like, those are their supplements. And he goes, oh.
Like, have they been getting their supplements or?
I mean, we'll find out. Someone's getting them. The bucket's going down.
It ain't me. Oh my gosh.
I could talk about horses all day. Anyways. So,
yeah, we're going to move eventually. We're going to move off the grid, away from people, especially with the way this country is going. I just think it's a smart idea.
Yeah. Yeah. All jokes aside, things are getting kind of crazy out there. So I definitely know I want to raise our kids in the country the way that, I'm grateful. I'm not even joking when I say this. I'm grateful that that's how I was raised, because I know you were a city boy, and I just think how sweet it will be to be able to raise our kids like that and probably homeschool and all the things. So, yeah. Next one.
Is this me or you?
I think it's you.
Is your hope renewed after a divorce?
Yes.
Good answer.
But I think you have to be careful on where you're trying to find that hope. I think if you are leaving a divorce and your heart is obviously shattered and broken, and you're going to try to find validation from someone somehow, I think that if you're not careful, you can try to find that in the wrong places. And speaking from experience, that was really where the door opened up and I started really biting into the apple that the enemy handed me, was with sexual sin and pornography and all the things. And if you're not careful, I think that can be a really slippery slope.
100%. I mean, I say this with the most love in the world. My hope is not found in this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This marriage is amazing. This marriage is one of the best parts about my life on this earth.
Oh, babe, that's so sweet.
But I don't find my hope in this marriage. My hope comes from above.
Yeah.
And so I think the true answer to that question is, yeah, I mean, is my hope renewed in like finding a woman that loves me and puts me before herself and chases after the Lord every day? Yeah, my hope's renewed in that because I found that. Did I put all of my hope in that to begin with? No.
Yeah.
My hope comes from above and comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's so true. I love that. And I think too, like, it speaks volumes at how Christ-centered our marriage is, because I think what you just said could easily, and not in our us, like not in our marriage, but in a situation where maybe they weren't as Christ-centered or rooted in the Lord, saying that your hope is not found in someone, that could have offended someone, the other person, right? Like in my past, when I was just starting to live for the Lord and walk with him, that would have offended me. And offense is a choice. And so I love that you just were able to rattle that off. And I'm sitting here like, amen, amen. Like, my hope does not come from you. It does not come from my job. It does not come from any relationship, any friendship in my life. And so, yeah, moving on.
Well, a little bit of your hope comes from me, because, which, do not, my God can do anything.
Amen.
But I have never seen him change a light bulb.
Amen.
And you need help with that.
Amen. Actually, now that you say that, we do have some light bulbs that need to be fixed.
I knew it.
I legit, when we were not dating, before I met you, I had light bulbs going out in my townhome. And I would literally, not Skype, wow, that's so old school. I would literally FaceTime my dad and be like, Dad, how do I do this? My poor dad, he's just grateful he's not on midnight calls anymore because of my crap.
Yeah, that was literally what he, as I reached over and hugged him as he handed me your hand in marriage at the altar, he literally whispered in my ear and said, there's a no return policy. Swear. So, yeah.
You know,
I wish he would have given me a little bit more of a heads up of what I was getting myself into.
Yeah. But
I'm not trying to take you back.
If y'all want to know what my relationship with my dad is like, it is, and babe, feel free to correct me, it is like John Dutton and Beth Dutton. Literally.
Yeah.
Like John Dutton knows her crap and tolerates it and loves her to pieces, but also calls her out on it.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That is me.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Next one.
This is your turn.
What is one physical trait of Jordan's that you want your kids to inherit?
Your eyes.
Oh,
they're beautiful.
I was just about to say, you handsome. Didn't pause long enough. I was going to be like, not all at once now, babe.
Your eyes and your teeth, your smile, because you didn't have braces.
I didn't.
And I did. And it was terrible.
Old brace face running around Whitesboro, Texas.
I know. I did not run that town. That town ran me. And I wish I had pictures of what my teeth looked like before I got braces, because let me tell you, they were not cute.
Little chiclets?
Chiclets, and I had a big, big gap in my
front. Did you really?
I did.
I would pay anything to get some photo evidence
of
this.
Can you believe that? It just really goes to show how much science can really change the body. It's pretty cool what they can do, orthodontist. And I'll never forget I had them for 5 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I got them in fifth grade, and I got them out.
So that's good, because if you got them in fifth grade, then you didn't have them in the real formidable years like high school and stuff where, you know, everybody's really concerned about image and all this.
Yeah, body image, self-esteem issues. No, I got them off right before my freshman year.
Oh, okay.
And I'll never forget, I got in the car. I was really sad that day for some reason or another, and they couldn't figure out why.
It's like the opposite of what you should be.
Because they were like, wow, Brittany, are you so excited? Like, you've graduated orthodontist. You know, your orthodontist years. And I'm like, yay. Because I had my mouth was really small, which my dad always said, funny, she talks so much. Like, that her mouth is small, but yet she talks all the time.
That is a conundrum. That's for sure.
I had an expander. So like, my mom had to crank my expander every single night, and it would put pressure from the inside to push my teeth out to make my mouth bigger. Yeah, crazy. So painful. Had that for about a year and a half. And so anyways, had braces for 5 years. Y'all don't care to hear about all this. I'm just getting my story. The day I got it off, or got them off, I cried on the way home because I thought I had bunny teeth.
What are bunny teeth?
Like the big buck teeth. Like,
you don't have...
I had gotten so used to seeing braces on my teeth that when I got them off, I was like, I hate them. And my mom was like, too bad. We just paid X amount of thousands of dollars for you to have straight teeth. And, you know, so that just proves my point. I want our kids to have your teeth because that would save us so much money.
Well, that's sweet of you, babe. I appreciate the compliment and also the concern about finances.
No, you know, I'm just always thinking ahead.
All right. I'll let you ask number six.
Do you guys hunt deer, bear, or elk?
So no, not regularly.
Yeah.
I've been on one hunting trip in my life. Mm-hmm. I killed a 300-pound wild hog.
It was massive.
At my buddy's ranch in Central Texas. Went down there with some friends Those and some veteran buddies. Huh?
Those things are terrible.
Yeah, they're awful. They're really a problem.
They're a major problem at our ranch right now.
Yeah. Outside of that, no.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I have a ton of buddies that do it all the time, but it's so like, I have a buddy that goes from the beginning of October through November or through December every single weekend.
Wow.
So
that's fascinating. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. For sure. And the other aspect of it is it's not something I could do with you because.
Why?
You love to talk to me no matter where we are. And I love it, but not one single animal will be within 100 yards of us.
It's literally like a few weeks ago. So my parents have a major hog problem at the ranch at the moment. Like it's pretty bad. Not even pretty bad. It's getting really bad. And so Jordan and I were out in the pastures just checking to see if we could maybe find them to kill off a few. And I can't wait for the PETA people to come at me for that. I'm like, y'all have no idea how dangerous these hogs are. So anyways, we're out there and we're walking around. It's sunset. It's really not even sunset. It is dusk. Like there is like no sunlight left. It's getting dark out. And all you can hear is us walking. I wear my freaking spurs. Why I had my boots and spurs on, I don't know.
Because you can't, you just got done riding horses.
I know. Yeah. But like, I didn't think to take those off because no, I'm like, we're going to be quiet.
Now hogs are dumb. They're just, we just don't know where they are.
They're not that dumb.
Well, yeah.
So I'm wearing my spurs. You can hear my spurs clanking. I'm pretty sure everyone here knows what those sound like. And then all of a sudden you hear me whispering, did you bring any snacks? Because I got hungry and we hadn't had dinner yet. Yeah. And Jordan just turns around and looks at me and he's like, are you done yet?
What I really should have said is we're done here. Because there's no chance there's any animals around us right now.
So we don't really hunt. I do not hunt. Jordan hunts if he has to, like wild hogs, etc. So
what? I'll get the next one.
Yeah.
What is one piece of advice you'd give to couples?
It's tough. I didn't really plan this one, but the first thing that comes to mind is not to be selfish. Let me expand on that. So when you're single and you're living by yourself, as I was for about 4 years, why are you laughing at me? Are you envisioning what single Brittany was like?
I'm still to this day curious how single Brittany made it allowed alive.
Honestly, by the grace of God.
There's literally not enough. You could do an entire season of near-death moments of single Brittany that she shouldn't have made it out of.
Yeah. You know, there were a lot of moments when I look back and I'm like, the Lord had his hand over me every time, even when I wasn't living for him, praise God. So, So when you're single and living by yourself, you don't answer to anyone. Like when I was living in Dallas, I didn't have anyone telling me I couldn't go out at 10 PM. I didn't have any curfew. I didn't have anyone telling me I had to wake up at 7 AM. Like I could do as I pleased, however I wanted. And I did for 5 years. And so when I met Jordan, you know, you're still kind of selfish because you are living by yourself, but marriage is eye-opening because all of a sudden you're sharing your space with a man. Your OCD clean house. I'm not OCD, but I do like to keep things neat and tidy. you know, you're letting someone else come into that. And so things are kind of changing and laundry's piling up and you're like, wait, what? Now I have to do your laundry too? And just it's an ebb and a flow, and it's truly I make it sound terrible. It's
yeah, the I mean, Lord. Do you enjoy marriage?
No, I love marriage. It's so fun. But as someone, you know, we've been married almost 2.5 years, going on 3. And it's like, it's humbling is the best way for me to say it. Like, the Lord just does a really good job in humbling you through marriage. And when you think about it, like, marriage is supposed to make you look more like Christ. And so it's not always easy.
Well, I think the best marriages or relationships are, and I've said this before, I believe on this podcast, like, they are when I'm more concerned about your welfare and your happiness than I am my own, and vice versa. You're more concerned about mine. Mm-hmm. I think that's just you guarantee that you're being looked after, mm-hmm. and that, you know, your partner is looking out for you and your best interest. And you don't have to worry about your own because you know they've got it.
Yeah.
So I think
you do a really good job at that.
I try.
You know, you do. I sometimes need, the Lord checks me because sometimes I can still be selfish. And I think we all can, you know, if we're being honest here. So you winking at me over there. The next question. Okay, babe, this one is all you. Are you excited? Best way to shop for a gun and learn how to use it.
It's the opposite.
What do you mean?
Well, you don't buy a gun and then learn how to use it.
You learn how to use it and then you buy it.
Mm-hmm. Go. If you are listening to this and you're in the market for a new firearm, find a local firearms instructor. Specifically, seek out one that has multiple types of handguns for you to try to shoot. Find out what works best for you, what you like, what fits your hand ergonomically the best. Learn some good firearm safety, handling, get a good basis, a good base layer down, and then go and purchase the firearm that you liked the best. Okay. So many people go and buy a gun and then try to kind of figure out what they like after they already own a gun. And I think that's the wrong way to do it. Go and find out what you like and then go and get that gun.
It's like the when you first took me to shoot a gun years ago.
That was ridiculous. So I got like a smaller Glock for you to try,
which I liked.
You did.
She was fun to shoot.
We kept it. We bought it. It ended up actually being my gun for a while. But so I get a Glock 43X for you to try, because I thought it would fit your hand well. And you shot it and you're like, oh yeah, okay. Which, you're a good shot.
Thanks, babe. I'm a good teacher.
You didn't have any bad habits. You're easy to teach. So, which I'm not a good teacher. You're easy to teach because you had no bad habits. 43X, doing great. And then you go, I want to try your gun. I'm like, okay. So literally, what was I shooting at the time? Like a SIG.
It was a SIG, yeah.
It was a SIG X5 Legion, something like that, like a P320.
The bells and whistles on it.
Lasers. So super, all tricked out, super expensive, like competition / tactical gun. And you shoot that and you're like, I want this one.
I was,
and
I'm like, I love this gun.
I'm like, of course you do.
And mind you, this gun is like almost 3 times the size of the one I was shooting.
Yeah.
Like, it is not smaller, it is bigger. And I was like, I love this gun.
Yeah.
And I think there was even a range, like a range, I don't know what they're called, in the gun.
A range officer.
And I remember him turning around and laughing. He was like, did she really just say that? And you go, yeah,
yeah,
she
did. Pretty par for the course. Yeah.
You are a good teacher though, babe. Like, you discount yourself. I mean, I feel fairly comfortable. If I had to, like, if someone was breaking into the house and I was forced to protect myself, I feel very comfortable that I'm capable of that. And I can only say that because of you. So don't discount yourself. Well, I've actually been trying to convince Jordan to do women's handgun courses. So I don't know. If you guys would be interested in that, let us know. I don't know that he'll do it, but I've been telling him to. I think he would be really good at it. He's a great teacher, and I would get to say hi to people. I love hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
People, making new friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, the next question.
Oh, I think it's another question for me.
Oh, Jordan, how can you talk to men about God without scaring them off with passion? Basically, she's asking, like, if it sounds like she's maybe in the dating scene.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you approach a man and get a and read on like how deep in his walk with the Lord he is without scaring him off?
Well, I think you just get to know them on a more of a friendship level.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to bear fruit one way or the other. It's either going to be good fruit or bad fruit.
Amen.
Getting to know them, hang out with them in, you know, a more friendship based setting.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see how they act, how they treat others. You know, before you ever have to take it down the romantic route.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I would say is you'll see the way, of course, on a date, mm-hmm. On a first date or, you know, during that courting phase, they're going to be on their best behavior.
Yeah.
But if you can catch them off guard prior to that, during the friendship phase, you're going to see really how someone truly like, are they rude to waiters? Like,
oh my gosh, that's my biggest
pet peeve. I hate that. Like,
it's not the waiter's fault. It's never the waiter's fault. And even if it is, they've got a lot going on. There's a million moving pieces in their day. I mean, I think like, from a girl's perspective, I know this was a question for you, but like, we don't need, how do I say this? On the first date, we don't need to be calling things demonic. Like, it's, I mean, unless y'all are both on that same wavelength, awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah.
But like, be honest, babe. If I would have sat down and told you all the things that I call demonic on our first date, you probably would have been like,
well, no, like,
this girl's a little passionate. Is
the fact that your coffee's bad.
It's not demonic.
Is not a demonic attack. Your barista is just having an off day.
And that's okay. Yeah. There's grace.
Yeah.
No, seriously, serious things that are demonic, a lot, right? Like,
sure.
But you don't have to talk about that. You don't have to like go like 10 feet deep on the first date.
Yeah. Let's leave like the Benny Hinn. Like to maybe the third or fourth date.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Spiritual gifts, third date. Like there's ways to seek out their depth level without having to, you know what I'm trying to say? Without having to like word vomit and be overzealous. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not ever shooting that down. Y'all know I'm on fire for the kingdom and I absolutely love the Lord and would lay my life down for him. But it's like, and do on a daily basis, but it's like, there's a way to approach that on a first date.
Well, I'm just thinking back to my time as a police officer, the best way to find out like what you want to know about something is to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
So ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask a ton of questions. Let him tell you what he's passionate about, what drives him, what ask pointed questions have, you know, a couple of questions thought up in your head of like, and questions that could be so like such slam dunk volleyball, giant softballs that they're right there for him to knock out of the park. If he does have a solid relationship with Christ, like you're leading it's a leading question.
Yeah. It's like, where do you want to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
If he says married with a family pursuing the Lord, bingo.
Yeah.
There's a golden ticket right there. If he's like, oh, I don't know, like, you know.
And he may be if the answer is like living in Uganda, teaching teaching kids English and on a mission, then you might want to check yourself because I don't know if you're maybe you want to step up your game.
Yeah. That's a pretty intense calling right there. That's a very intense. Kelly and I were just talking about, Kelly Farron and I were just talking about mission trips the other day.
Yeah.
I think, like we both said, there's a way to deliver that and find that out without, you know, trying to push Jesus down his throat. So moving on.
I'll ask the next one.
Okay.
How to navigate the holidays and infertility together.
Well, Today was actually a pretty rough day. And I think it's hard. I don't even think it's hard. It is hard. You look around and you see everyone with their pregnancy announcements and Christmas cards, you know, featuring their newborns or their new family. And you're so happy for them, but you're also crushed that that's not your season. And I think the first year that we were married, because that was obviously like 2 months after our wedding, it wasn't like, I didn't really think anything of it. And then last year came around and I was like, okay, like this is a little harder because we had the miscarriage. And then this year just feels like a whole nother level of feeling crushed. Because, you know, after having a miscarriage, it's been 14 months. And I think we can both, if we're being honest, say that we expected to be pregnant, not only pregnant, but also have a baby in our arms by now.
Yeah.
And so it's just really hard. It's not easy, no matter which way you look at it. And so I think giving yourself the space to grieve and process with the Lord, today was not a fun day for me. Part of the reason why we're filming this at 10 p.m. is recording at 10 p.m. is because it was a little bit of a rough day. And I had to give myself the space to process and cry and get it out with the Lord. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I don't really have any advice because we're still in the thick of it ourselves.
Yeah, we're still learning how to do that. I mean, I think from a husband's perspective or a man's perspective in the relationship or marriage with infertility around the holidays, like, mm-hmm. you know, just being supportive and trying to do your best to understand.
Yeah,
you're not going to understand. You're not going to. And as a man, you can't fix it.
Yeah.
That question that we go back to premarital counseling, like, do you want me to listen or do you want me to fix it?
Yeah.
And you can't. Your only option here is to listen. And so we'll report back because I think we're still learning.
We are, and we're also I'm gonna sit down and film a YouTube video over this because it has been about 6-ish months since I feel like we've talked about this and like really talked about our mm-hmm. fertility journey. And we're kind of at a crossroads right now with some things that we're trying to make some, well, I mean, I guess ultimately life-changing decisions because they are. So I will definitely sit down and do a YouTube video over that very soon. Moving on to the next question. Why did Jordan get rid of his social media after we started dating?
Well, two-part answer.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, my profession discourages it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm on yours a lot, it's not something that I. We'll just leave it that at that.
Yeah, we don't need to go into specifics as to what you do,
huh?
We don't need to go into specifics as to what you
do. So beyond that, you know what I noticed is, and we would sit there and scroll through, you know. Well, you'd be on Instagram, I'd be on Instagram, and you know, you saw my page, you saw what I was mm-hmm. following. It was tactical companies, golf. Gun companies, and golf. And even somehow, some way, I have no idea how they do this, but like still like scantily clad women would show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is the deal with this algorithm? And it was mm-hmm. I had no desire for it. And all of my family, all of my friends, for the most part, the people that are in my life on a day in, day out basis, I don't need social media to keep up mm-hmm. with them.
Yeah.
We have intimate relationship where I know what's going on in their life. They text me pictures of their children. Mm-hmm. They know what I'm doing. It just wasn't necessary.
Yeah. Well, and like props to you. First of all, I get that because even still, I mean, Instagram is just sneaky. Like you think you have your algorithm figured out and then all of a sudden this random picture comes into your explore page or your feed and you're like, where did this even come from? Like it still happens to everyone. And like, it's just so encouraging to know that like, so in my past, a guy that I dated, Black Hawk Down, babe. It's that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have named my exes war movies. Really depressing, sad, chaotic war movies. What are all the ones? We have Black Hawk Down, Tears of the Sun.
Oh, Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan.
That one's just real sad. That poor guy had never had a chance.
Yeah. I've got a Saving Private Ryan in my life.
Yeah.
And these were all guys that like were really bad to me. So they're not like, you know, I'm not just giving them names for no reason. So anyways, Black Hawk Down guy one day just decided that I was like, I'm going to go through and see like who he's following on Instagram. Had been with this guy for like 9 months at this point. And I go through and it's a bunch of like basically borderline porn accounts. And so later that day, politely and sweetly and kindly and gracefully, I was like, hey, like, I saw this and it kind of bothered me. Like, could you maybe like resolve this so that I'm not like, it's really getting to my head. It's making me feel like I'm not good enough for you.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, I was being gaslit. The situation was being flipped and manipulated back on me. And I was being told I was a problem. And I was like, oh, okay. And so it's all of that to say, like, it's just so refreshing to be married to a man. And ladies, like, take this as a learning lesson. Like, the man that God has for you is going to recognize when something is threatening his relationship with you, and he's going to cut it off. He's going to cut it off. He's not going to entertain it. He's not going to jeopardize your relationship with him because of something that he sees online, whether that's on social media or not on social media. Maybe it's on something else. On, you know, maybe he's watching porn. He's going to cut it off. Like, and so, yeah, I don't know. I love when you tell that story because I'm just reminded of how sweet the Lord is that, I don't know. It's just really cool to see how he cares about the details.
Well, thank you, babe.
Yeah. So moving on from Black Hawk Down.
Black Hawk Down. Do you have any anxiety about bringing a child into the world with the way it is?
No, I don't think so. I know we're not called to have fear.
Yeah.
The Bible says, do not fear 365 times, which is enough for one every day.
One every day.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't really see why. Now, I think it's also completely normal to feel anxiety sometimes, or maybe a little overwhelmed at the future. And maybe if we're being honest, worried, but to straight up fear having a child because of the way that the world is, I don't think that's what the Lord has asked us to do. I think he's asked us to trust him and trust him even if we can't see what lies ahead.
Well, I think too, you know, bring a child into this world is what you make of it. Are you going to walk it out with that child and teach him right from wrong? Teach him, you know, to be in the word, to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Like, it's all about what you do with that as a parent.
Yeah.
So I'm confident that we can bring that child into this world and lead them down the right path of, you know, what's true, what's right, what's just, you know, and do a good job with that. As a protector, sometimes I'm fearful. I say fearful, but sometimes I worry about, you know, what will happen later on in that child's life because things are going to get worse before the Lord comes back. And, I, you know, as a protector, I don't want my children or my wife to live through that without being shielded or protected. I hope I'm around to be able to, facilitate that.
Yeah.
So that's probably male or husband specific. But yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. That's such a good standpoint or point of view.
Oh my gosh.
All right, babe.
How did this get in here?
We're closing this out because the people want to know. I'm not kidding. I had like 10 people that I just saw.
This is because I was joking, right?
Ask about this in my DMs.
This is because I when you asked what I wanted to talk about on a Q&A, this, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so here we go. All right. This is your floor.
It's not as crazy.
I haven't even asked the question
yet. Okay, go ahead.
Babe, tell us all about ballistic coefficients.
This is so silly. So I'll keep it super simple.
Yes.
Ballistic coefficients. are like the ability for a projectile or a bullet to overcome the resistance of like the air in flight towards the target.
You already lost me.
It varies based off of the size, shape, and you know, weight or aerodynamics of a projectile.
So like an airplane?
No, I'm talking about bullets.
Wow.
And because airplanes have a sustainable power source, an engine.
Oh.
And once a bullet is fired, it no longer has...
It loses momentum.
It loses momentum. And so it talks about like the obvious goal of shooting a bullet is to be as flat and as straight for as long as possible. Because then there's less variation on impact on that target.
Well, yeah, because like if it goes up at all, and it's going to slow naturally from like a physics perspective. So like if it's a straight line, it keeps.
Yeah. And then we literally do not have time to talk about the curvature of the earth and how that plays into it. And also
that does.
Yeah.
So are you not a flat earther?
I wish I was a flat earther, but
I don't even
ballistic coefficients tell me that I'm not a flat earther. And so the whole thing about optimizing ballistic coefficients is finding for what caliber you're shooting, what is the optimal size, shape, and weight of that projectile that comes out of that bullet.
This is making my head hurt. You lost me.
Yeah.
Aerodynamics. I'm like, wait, that's planes, right?
And there's so let me blow your mind even more.
Okay.
There is actual mathematics that goes into this. There are equations that can help you figure out how to optimize ballistic coefficients based off of a multitude of things. And it's measured in pounds per square inch.
So this isn't like girl math.
No.
Now that I've explained what girl
math is. No, this is pretty, this isn't if I have 9 eyelashes and I wear 6 of them, how many eyelashes do I have? Secondary question is, do I have enough eyelashes for complete sets? And the answer is you have 3 left after wearing 6 and you need 4. So no, you do not.
So like
girl math,
you're telling me that when you were, and I'm not going to expose what you did, like, but when you were like doing your job and you're like up on a roof or you're in a building looking down, wherever you're at, you have to think about all of this you pull the trigger.
Yeah. Oh, of course. In an urban environment, not as much. This is more of a long distance thing.
Okay.
And it's really, it's like, it's a nerdy thing. Like guys nerd out over this. I mean, there's books about this,
but it's also making my head hurt.
It's you like guys study this and, you know, your military guys are really good at this stuff. It's one of my nerdy things that, you know, this is a perfect example. You know, that meme where the couple is laying in bed and they're facing opposite directions.
And she's like,
and the girl is, what does the girl say?
He's thinking about another woman.
Yeah. And I'm over here thinking about like, you know, air density and humidity and how that is negatively affecting the bullet that came out of my gun at a certain distance. And should I change to a different grain of bullet to combat that, to make a better shot?
All makes so much sense because this is factual. I now understand why you are the way that you are, because on days that like you go to the gun range, we have a gun range at my parents' ranch and it's like 5 acres. The days that you're up there, I bet that's what you're doing in bed when you're so quiet. You're picking apart your shooting that day.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Trying to get sense. Yeah, I'm thinking about it and getting better and trying to make myself better.
Huh. So do I need to learn ballistic coefficients?
No. Ballistic coefficients really don't apply to handguns.
Oh, these are like long range rifles.
Yeah. And I don't see you branching out of handgun.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, we may get you an AR. We'll see. Even then, you really don't have to worry about it. It's pretty standardized in that we're talking about different calibers of like long range hunting rifles and whatnot. This has gone on for way too long.
Yeah. I think we've talked more about ballistic coefficients than we did anything else. Hey, you're giving the people what they want.
Giving people what they want. Yeah, they wanted to know.
I love this. I mean, honestly, I loved it. I've never heard you explain it before. I just kind of assumed it had to do with guns, but
ballistic coefficients.
I have to get you a soundboard.
I want
to
talk to you about that soundboard.
I know. We got to look one up. I bet you can get them on Amazon.
I'm just doing your editing team. I'm just taking it, you know, taking over for them.
Taking it to the next level for them, man. All right. Well, babe.
You let me know when you want me to start your outro or our outro music.
That's like the fifth time I've yawned. You're going to start outro music?
Well, I've got outro music, but.
Okay. Yeah. Well, not yet. We're going to say goodbye first.
Yeah. Go ahead and start saying goodbye.
Actually, why don't you do the outro music now?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, that wraps up our final episode of 2023. I can't believe that we're already going into Christmas and the new year. I hope you guys have an amazing new year, and I hope that you guys go in with... Are you playing it already?
Keep going.
With a new vision, new expectations. You're really throwing me off. I can't keep going. It's really not loud enough. That's more like it right there. That is my favorite song. It's so dramatic. You know what it makes me think of? Star Wars.
Kind of. It's from a movie, but it's not Star Wars.
Did you ever watch Star Wars as a kid?
A little bit. Not as much as probably you did.
Star Wars. I wanted to be Princess Leia. I used to make my mom do my hair like that.
Tell the people good night.
Anyways.
Tell them Merry Christmas.
We need to go to bed. I have to be up early for Hazel and Lane shoot. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much for stopping in. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will see you guys in 2024.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.